Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. Got another wonderful show in store for you. Just waiting for my guest to show up. Hopefully she'll be here by the time we bring her on. First, my deepest apologies to my listeners. Last week, we had some technical trouble, so the show did not stream out live, but we did record it, and it will be put out shortly. So you'll get a twofer this week, this live show, and then last week's recorded show. So I hope you'll tune in for that. And as always, we will start off first with my blog post. And this week's blog post actually is a really important one. And this one is entitled, "When We Let Go of Something, We Make Room for the New to Enter." Letting go can be a challenge for most of us, whether it is letting go of an object, a career, or a partner. Most humans like to hold on to things. It can be a challenge for us to release something we value. Even if we treasure something merely because we have had it for a long time, we often grow attached to things that have been in our lives for a while. There is a comfort in knowing that that piece of furniture is always in our living room, or that the office we have been going to for years is still there for us, and especially when it is a partner, spouse, or lover, or family member who has been in our lives for as long as we can remember. To have to deal with that sudden hole when their presence is no longer there for us can be quite difficult. The challenge it causes in our life can be uncomfortable. Perhaps we are used to sitting in a certain spot in the room, or to the routine we have developed to be efficient at our job or business. And the most difficult of all is losing the emotional support and connection of a loved one. Change does not wait for us to be ready. It is not time to happen at the perfect moment. Chaos comes for us when we least expect it and in the way we never would have imagined. Yet when we are in the throes of change, it would serve us to remember that when something is gone, it makes room for something else to come in. Letting go of an object makes room for a new object to come into our environment. Leaving a job or business makes room for a new venture in our lives. Honoring the passing or disconnection from a loved one leaves room in our lives for someone new to come in. If nature abhors a vacuum, then that hole we feel in our hearts will soon be filled by someone else. That extra time in our day will be filled with new activities, and that cherished piece of furniture will be replaced with something better. Perhaps to our environment, whether physical changes to our environment, whether physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, help us to grow. To see where our internal work is and push us to learn, adapt, and change ourselves. Just as a plant must continually be growing or it dies, so too, we must welcome the things we lose in life so we continue to grow and evolve ourselves. We cannot stay in a safe, comfortable world if we are to become something more. Challenges are the fuel that feed our spirit to become more. From the littlest to the greatest challenge, they are all here to serve us. So when we lose something, anything we value, it is time to prepare for something new. The unexpected keeps us open to new possibilities of life. And letting go is merely an opportunity to bring something new into our lives. So is there something you have been holding on to that it is time to let go of? This blog post, although written 2 years ago, is particularly relevant for me these days. And at the time I wrote this, I have to think back, because there were a couple of things that happened, but there was a possibility at the time of losing a close relationship in my life, which I actually ended up not losing. But it was something that really was very challenging and difficult for me to face, and fearful. So at the time when I wrote this blog post, it was about that, about losing a relationship. But as I reflected on it, you know, it's more than just relationships. You know, my wife, excuse me, my wife is very good at letting go of things. I am not. I am, I guess I probably take it after my mother, who was a bit of a hoarder. You know, when I have something and I've had it for a while, I like, there's a certain comfort from having it, certain connection to the past. So I hold on to things. I have old books from years ago. I have, you know, some artwork I did when I was in college, which is not very good. I mean, it's okay. And so when it comes to letting go of things, I do it very hesitantly. My wife, on the other hand, is very good about, let's let this go and get something new. And I'm like, but it's still useful. It's still good. Oh, it's okay. We can give it to somebody. We can sell it to somebody. You know, we had a sofa, this green kind of big, comfortable sofa that we had bought when we first got married 22 years ago. And we had it for many, many years. And then, I don't know, 3, 4 years ago, my wife was like, it's no good. It's too big. We need to get something better, different, whatever. And she found a sofa she liked online and we ordered it. Took forever for it to come, because at the time, you know, there was still problems with the supply chain and things shipping over from Asia and, you know, still, you know, it took like, I don't know, months, like almost 6 months, I think, to get this new sofa. But, you know, it was hard for me to let go of that old green sofa, even though it did take up too much room, but it was very comfortable. You know, even though it wasn't, you know, it was past its prime, and we ended up giving it to, or selling, I don't remember, but to someone else in our apartment building, a young couple who just had a kid, and I think they still have it. But it was very, you know, I could feel like emotionally I was attached to this sofa because I had it, you know, close to 20 years. And, you know, my wife, she was so ready to let it go. It was so easy for her to let it go. And, you know, it was just very symbolic, I guess, of things in general for me. That letting go of things is hard. And I think it's hard for a lot of people. And just as I reflected on this whole idea of letting go of things. And again, when I say things, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical objects. It could be relationships, could be people we know, could be a pet that passed away. But letting go is hard. And especially with people who we have a strong emotional attachment to, letting go is heart-wrenching. And I think what causes us the most challenge with letting go is we don't allow ourselves time to grieve. Sometimes we don't even think we should grieve or that there's anything to grieve. But loss causes us grief. And that's okay. We just need to be okay with the fact that something is no longer with us. In this society, we're not very good at grieving. We don't teach our children how to grieve. We often teach them how to stuff it down. Oh, it's okay. Even if, let's say, it was a loss of a parent, things will be okay. But the real truthful thing to say to a child who just lost a parent is, yeah, this sucks. It's gonna suck. It's gonna suck for a long time. And it's okay to grieve the loss. But that's not the way we're taught. That's not what people say to us. Have a stiff upper lip. Don't cry. Things will get better. We invalidate our feelings of loss. And so losing something in our lives, something, someone, it's hard. It really is. And I think we just need to admit that to ourselves, to others, to people in general, that losing something sucks. And if we can be really honest and really admit that it's hard to let go of things, that can be the first step. Sometimes we just need to admit to ourselves we don't want to let go of the thing. Doesn't mean we won't let go of it, but to just admit we don't want to. We don't want to let go of the relationship, even though it no longer serves us. We don't want to let go of this, this thing that we've had in our lives for so long that we've grown attached to. We don't want to let go of our identity, of our career, of our business. It's okay not to want to let go. Admitting we don't want to let go helps us to lighten the grip a little bit. Grieving the fact that we are letting go, or we will let go, or we have let go of something, grieving helps us to lighten the grip. And so I think I wrote this blog post to also help lighten the grip, to allow it to be okay that when we lose something, when we let go of something, that that actually makes room, that makes space for something new to come in. And my wife has been saying this to me for years. Whenever we get something for the apartment, she's always like, where are we going to put it? Where is it going to fit? And I'm like, I never think about that because I'm like, we'll find a place. And if we need to get rid of something to find the place, I'm okay getting rid of it after we got the new thing. She's like, no, let's get rid of the old thing first. There'll be a hole there, and then we'll fill it with something new. And it just, she has a very different makeup, a very different personality from me, and that's okay. It's kind of why we complement each other so well. But for a lot of people, letting go of that thing is hard. And I just feel that if we can remind ourselves that letting go makes room for something new to come in, that can make the letting go a little easier. And even for relationships, even when we lose someone very close to us. Years ago, someone told me about John DeMartini's book, The Breakthrough Experience, and I got it and read it, and it was such a powerful thing. And it's something I believe he still teaches, he still shows people. But it's a way of when there's someone gone from our life, when we've lost somebody precious, someone important to us, to take stock of the other people in our lives and what and take stock of the person who we lost and what characteristics, what energy did they have that we really appreciated. And then look at other people and see who also has that energy. And very often, if not always, when we've lost someone, the energy that we loved about them and the thing they brought to our lives, there's somebody else on that list that has that same energy, that brings that energy to our lives. And it might not be one person, it might be across several people, that now there's room to receive that thing that we got from someone else from these other people. So we never really lost what we were attached to in the first place. It just transformed into someone else, into another relationship, into a different relationship. And sometimes when we lose a relationship, we're glad we lost the relationship. We're like so done with it. But if there were things that were triggering about that relationship that we were attracting and we haven't worked that out in ourselves, then it's still going to reappear in our lives through other people. But just understanding this process and practicing it for myself was so powerful. I still, to this day, when someone's dealing with loss, will recommend it to people. But I just feel it's so key, and I think this is why this particular blog post is so timeless, because we're always dealing with loss. And I'm sorry to say that I have a feeling that there's going to be more loss in the future, because the way technology is developing, the way AI is continuing to grow and become more powerful, more capable, that whole industries, whole careers will become obsolete. And we will lose, for those of us whose identity is in what we do, it's going to be a loss. It's going to be a challenge. Because what we do and how we show up in the world is going to be very different when we get to that point, when we no longer have to work for a living. We no longer have to have a career, a business, because everything is given to us. What do we do when we don't have to work to support ourselves? What do we do when ultra-powerful AI-powered robots and computers can literally create anything that a human can create, and create even better things than humans can create. It's so important to keep in mind that we are so much more than a career. We are so much more than a relationship. We are so much more than these attachments that we have. Yet we're not going to deal with it until it's right in front of our face. So I do see the rate of change continuing to increase, and I do see how it's going to become more and more challenging to deal with this change. Oh, and I do see a dear friend and former host, Jacinta, on LinkedIn says, great topic. So important for many of us to learn to take the first step to let go and lighten the load. Yes. Letting go is so, so important, and it's something we really don't talk about much. And it's the same way, like in our society, we don't talk about death until we experience it, until we have the death of a loved one. Death is part of life. It's part of our culture, at least indigenous cultures and ancient cultures. There were rituals around death, rituals around helping people to deal with death. Because death is the ultimate loss, right? But it's not. It's a transformation. It's a transition. Just because we lose someone doesn't mean we can't talk to them. It just means maybe they're not going to respond the way we're used to. We can talk to people even if they're no longer alive. We can always express to them how we're feeling, letting them know we miss them, letting them know we're grieving for them. We just shouldn't expect an answer. Well, it might come in different ways, but letting go, especially when it's not voluntary, it's one of the most difficult things we can do. And I think we just need to be honest and say, this is hard for me. At least when we name it, when we admit that letting go of whatever it is we need to let go of is challenging for us, that helps. Talking to a gentleman over the weekend who got fired from his job in October, and he had been in the industry 20 something years, and you could tell it was a very hard loss for him. And he admitted it, but then he found finally a new job in January, and he was feeling much better, but you could feel from the conversation how much of a loss it was losing that job after he'd been with that company 12 years. We're going to see more and more of that. It's harder and harder for young people graduating school to get into entry-level jobs. All kinds of industries, medical technicians, I understand, are particularly getting affected by the implementation of artificial intelligence. Other industries will be affected. We're going to have to let go of our work identities, of our business identities, and find something different, something new. And I know finding something new, it can be hard. But that's what keeps us going. That's what moves us forward. That's what keeps us young, as long as we're learning, as long as we're growing. Like a plant, as long as we're growing, we're still alive. It's when we stop growing that we start dying. So letting go of whatever it is. A sofa, a table, an apartment, a house, a home, a job, a career, a loved one, parent, a child, a family. Yeah, it's hard. Let's be honest. Let's stop bullshitting ourselves and saying it's going to be okay. Not that it's not going to be okay, but let's be with the truth that in the moment that we feel the loss, that it hurts. Even my engineer, she had to let go of a bunch of stuff recently because she just moved. And yeah, she did point out it was surprisingly liberating. And that's the thing. When we have less things in our life, we're more free. When we have less objects that we're holding on to, there's more room, there's more space for us to have more energy, to be free. Sometimes holding on to things holds us down. And letting go, cleaning out the closets, it changes the energy and it makes us lighter. I think that's why Marie Kondo was all about simplicity and getting rid of stuff, why she's so popular, and why just the whole idea of decluttering and getting rid of stuff has become more and more popular. Because when people experience letting go of things, and we allow those things to leave our life, that we find we actually have more room, more space, that we don't have to hold on to everything, that we can let it go. And yeah, just being honest with ourselves that it's hard helps to make it a little less hard. And I think knowing that when we let go of something, we're making room for something new, even if we don't know what that something new is yet, that can make it a little bit easier. That can help us to face the letting go. So, of course, you know, my question at the end, is there something you have been holding on to that is time to let go of? I think you should think about that for this week and see what is it that you've been holding on to. That's my blog post. When we let go of something, we make room for the new to enter. And of course, you can always find my blog on theconsciousconsultant.com. Hey, did you check out my new website? I've updated it, added a bunch of information about how I work with people and the benefit they get from it. I would love some feedback. So if you get a chance to go to the website, please let me know what you think. I created it myself with the help of AI. And I think it turned out pretty well. And of course, you can also find my blogs on this radio station's website, talkradio.nyc/blog. Well, it's time for us to take a break. My guest is not here, so I guess we'll continue on, just you and me. But we will talk about releasing our emotional wounds, because that is our topic for today. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Wednesday, barring technical difficulties, at 12 noon Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc, all over social media, and on, of course, on your favorite podcasting platforms. So everyone, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Are you a spiritual seeker? Are you interested in expanded states of reality? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will dive into these topics with authors, teachers, researchers, and guides. Tune in at our new time, Wednesdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Wednesdays, 12 noon Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. One last comment from Jacinta. She said, thanks for including her comment. Letting go of emotional weight we carry can be such a powerful step towards healing. It's something I often help my clients work through during their healing journey. Yes, Jacinta, absolutely. It's the emotional weight, learning to... I almost wouldn't say, I try and avoid these days terms like letting go and releasing, because it's always a part of us somewhere in there. I think of it nowadays more as metabolizing, more as processing the energy, more as like learning to hold it better and giving it more space and more room so it doesn't control us in the same way. And, unfortunately, something happened to my guest today. Probably the change in daylight savings time or something, who can't join us or isn't joining us. But our topic for today is releasing our emotional wounds, which is interesting because the blog post, I guess, is so apropos to the topic. And you know, our emotional wounds, we all experience them. We all have those issues. And we carry them with us for the rest of our life. Though I do want to make a distinction that there's a difference between a wound and a scar. The wound is what happens when whatever it was active, whether it was some trauma at the time, loss of a parent or guardian or someone close to us, loss of our own innocence, some abuse, whatever. The wound is what we feel in the moment and when it's fresh. But what happens over time is those wounds turn to scars. And the scars are what we carry with us for the rest of our life. And how we hold those scars determines a lot of how we show up in our life. And we all have emotional scars, because we've all had emotional wounding throughout our life. It comes with being human. But there are different ways to hold those wounds or those scars. If we deny that those scars are there, then they will control us. They will operate in the background. They will affect our decisions and the choices we make throughout our life. They will affect us in ways we can't imagine, and they will be running the show. And sometimes, just to look at those scars or just first to admit that we have those emotional scars from our wounds, just admitting that is a big step forward. But more than admitting it, it's being willing to dive into the energy of those scars that those wounds have left. Because the scar is the imprint. And we have that imprint in our emotional and energetic bodies, even if it's not a physical wound, but we still carry that imprint with us. And by denying that that imprint is there, it causes it to harden, to deepen, to hold on even stronger. And when we're willing to look at it, when we're willing to admit that those scars exist, when we're willing to allow ourselves to feel what we maybe couldn't feel at the time because we needed to survive, we needed to move forward, maybe at the time we couldn't allow ourselves to break down and cry and sob and wail in pain. Maybe we didn't feel safe enough. But to find a way today, as adults, to admit to ourselves that really hurt and allow ourselves to feel the pain in a way that's putting a salve on that scar, on that wound, so it can heal a little bit more. So that instead of denying it, instead of pushing it down, instead of refusing to admit it's there, which causes it to get denser and harder and more difficult to process later on, if we can open up to it, if we can admit its existence, if we can hold it with tenderness and care, hold it the way we wish we had been held at the time that wound was inflicted upon us, or at the time we experienced that wound. If we can hold that scar with compassion, then we can process that energy. Then we can allow ourselves to cry about it. Then we can allow ourselves to feel the pain, the agony, the loss. And look, we don't have to do it all at once. We don't have to sit down and just cry and cry and cry for weeks on end. Sometimes it can feel so overwhelming that just even to touch that scar feels like too much. And this is why working with a guide, with a healer, with a therapist, with a professional, somebody who does this for a living, holding space for people, is so important. I mean, first we got to be willing to admit it ourselves. We got to be willing to do the work ourselves. But if we admit it and we're willing to do the work ourselves, working with a guide, working with a healer, a therapist, can be so, so, so valuable. Because first, they're not emotionally attached to our wounds. Second, they've seen lots and lots and lots of other people's wounds. And third, they've seen what it takes for people to process and integrate and metabolize those wounds so they can be incredibly valuable guides, showing us the path, holding space for us, Now, look, you have to find the guide, the therapist, the healer who you resonate with, who feels safe for you. Safety is first and foremost. But I highly recommend you don't try and do this all on your own. Working with some kind of facilitator is invaluable. And working with somebody you trust is essential. And the interesting thing is when we do allow ourselves to feel those feelings that we've cut ourselves off from for so many years. When we do allow ourselves the sense of safety and admit these scars exist and hold them tenderly, the scars do lighten. They do help us to move forward in our lives. It does help us to move forward in our lives, to acknowledge those scars, to feel what those scars are holding. It does lighten the scar. This is not to say that the scar will disappear. I don't think those scars ever disappear. But what happens is we are no longer carrying the emotional charge around the scar. So then we can admit about the scar. We can talk about the scar. We can share about our experience of the wound and the scar. And you know what that does? That makes us more human. More authentic, more relatable. And especially when we meet someone else who has a similar scar from a similar wound, and we admit about our wound and how much it hurt, and how painful it was, and what it felt like. Now we have a connection, a deeper connection that shows us that we're not the only one who felt that way, that we're not alone in the world with what we experience, that there are other people out there who have felt the same or similar. And that creates a sense of belonging. And that sense of belonging can be tremendously, tremendously healing. And so releasing our emotional wounds, it's not about getting rid of the scars. It's not. But it's about changing our energetic and emotional relationship to the scars to allow them to transform from maybe something ugly to something beautiful. To transform the energy around them so instead of those scars weighing us down and causing us pain and causing us to be reactive, that we can hold them with grace and compassion so that when we meet somebody else with those scars, we don't yell at them. We don't berate them. We don't get triggered by them. But we hold our heart out to them and we show them compassion. We hold them in a way we wish we had been held. Wow. Jacinta, thank you so much for all the comments. Jacinta says, I love how you're differentiating between wounds and scars. It reminds me of how healing works emotionally as well. When wounds turn into scars, sometimes they become like a colloidal scar, raised, uncomfortable, and a constant reminder. But when we care for the scar properly over time, it softens, flattens, and becomes less irritating. Healing our emotional wounds can work similarly when we give ourselves the care and attention we need. You got it, Jacinta, 100%. That is exactly what I'm saying. That instead of denying the existence of our scars, that we admit that they're there and we give them the care that they need. And exactly, they smooth out, they become softer, they flatten out, they don't irritate us. Because when there's a scar and it's unhealed, even a feather touching it will cause us to yell in pain. And what that yelling in pain looks like can be snapping at people, be irritable, be combative, confrontive, argumentative. It can show up all kinds of different ways. Just think about in your own life, when you're triggered by someone or something, how do you react instinctively? Like not with thought, not mindfully, but that instinctive reaction. That's beyond our conscious control. That's how we show up when an unhealed scar is touched. And the healing lotion, the healing balm that we put on that scar, that's our compassion, that's our self-care, that's our giving space and holding ourselves in that way, that then when something touches it, we don't get triggered and react like that instinctually. We can start to react with curiosity. We can start to question, wow, that feels irritating. I wonder what is it about this person that irritates me? I don't have to respond with irritation, but I can get curious about it and see where that leads me. And when we know our scars so well, that when other people show up with the same scars, we recognize it instantly. We can know that person so well because we know ourselves. And now we can just see a hurt young child in front of us instead of a raging adult. Then we can respond instead of react. And responding instead of reacting is where our power lies. And that's why doing the challenging work of feeling the unhealed emotions of our emotional scars is so important and so empowering. Can you imagine if every type of person or individual you know of that used to trigger you suddenly no longer causes that emotional trigger to happen, and you can respond to them from a place of mindfulness, of compassion and curiosity? Can you imagine how differently your life would feel? Can you see the reward of doing that difficult work? Of feeling the grief, the pain, the sorrow, the anguish that we've pushed down and we've covered up and we've glossed over for so many years. That digging into it and allowing it to move through our body, allowing the tears to flow, Yeah, it can feel like it's never going to end, but it always does. It can feel like a bottomless pit, but it's not bottomless. It takes courage to do this kind of work. It takes true self-compassion to do this work. And it takes fortitude. It takes persistence. Because sometimes when we first start to process these scars and these wounds, we feel worse than we did beforehand. And we can question ourselves, why did I start down this path? Why am I doing this? Oh my God, I feel so awful. But trust me, if you persist, if you stay with it, if you continue to move through it and allow it to move through you, what you will feel on the other side will be so much better. And I'm not just talking better of when you're in the midst of it, I'm talking better of how you felt from before you started to do the work. You know, that's the kind of paradox of doing this kind of emotional processing. Because before we start doing it, we're somewhat numb to that pain. We're somewhat cut off from our feelings. And so when we open up and we start to do this work and the feelings start to flood in, we feel worse. And so we think, oh my God, this is awful. Why did I ever start this? But as we stay with it, as we continue to allow it to process and metabolize and flow through us, what happens is we start to feel lighter. There's more internal room and more internal space. And we start to show up in a different way. We start to live differently. And the curious thing is, not only do we feel emotionally lighter, but inevitably, if we're struggling with things like being overweight, like being having some physical challenges, those physical challenges lighten up. When we feel better and we're ha truly happier, we don't hold on to the weight. That's a form of protection. That the reward of going through this challenging process is that we actually feel better in our own skin. I've been doing this work a long time. And especially over the last 11, almost 12 years, really working more deeply on my own process. And what I often say to people is, if you look at my life from the outside compared to 11, 12 years ago, it may not look that different from what it was back then, but inside it feels completely different. And that is the reward. That is the benefit of doing this challenging, deep inner work. It's not that life around us will change that much, but we feel completely different in the world around us. And oftentimes, because we feel different around it, things around us will shift and change. So, doing this work, it's not for the faint of heart, it's not for the timid, it's for the courageous. But not the courageous, you know, people who want to climb a mountain and do death-defying feats and who put their lives on the line for things. It's a different kind of courage. It's a courage of authenticity. It's a courage of honesty and truthfulness and admitting to ourselves that hidden truth that we've been holding on to for so long. It's speaking out, not necessarily in words, but in emotions, the thing we've been so afraid to admit to ourselves for so many years. That courage is a different kind of courage. That courage is a more uncommon courage. That courage is something that in my book is much more valuable and much more powerful and can have a much greater impact on our lives. So I apologize for my guest not showing up this week, but I guess it allowed us to have this conversation. And Jacinta, thank you so much. I see she posted another comment. I really love this show. Conversations like this are so needed, and I believe it will benefit many people. I hope so. That's why I do this show, is I want to help as many people as I can. So please, let me know if you enjoyed this conversation, if it touched you in some way, if it helped in some way. And if it did, please don't keep it a secret. Share this episode with friends, family, loved ones, colleagues. If you know someone going through a difficult emotional time, maybe this is the episode to share with them. Maybe this time, what I've said will touch somebody's heart in some way that will give them the courage to step forward and truly allow themselves the gift of deep, deep healing. That is my wish for all of you. So I truly thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. I really appreciate you giving me your attention, which is one of the most valuable things that we have this day, because everyone is vying for our attention. So thank you for the preciousness of your attention this week. I trust that you've gotten something out of this episode, and I hope you will share that with those close to you. And of course, as always, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Twitch, and on all the podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Amazon. So please join us again next week. Hopefully my guests will actually show up next week. I'm pretty sure they will. Thank you for tuning in. Take care. Have a beautiful week. We will talk to you next week.
Are you a spiritual seeker? Are you interested in expanded states of reality? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will dive into these topics with authors, teachers, researchers, and guides. Tune in at our new time, Wednesdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Wednesdays, 12 noon Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.